Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WCGC Atlanta, WCGC HD1.
A radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio, 92.9, the game.
It's 5 o'clock
on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What? What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa, Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you enjoyed the weekend. A long one for most of us. Mike Bell was jet-setting, and he'll be jet-setting again as we'll jump on a plane to head out to Las Vegas on Wednesday night. For the big fight on Saturday, it'll be Wilder Fury. Now, we had a chance to talk to Tyson Fury last week, and we'll get Deontay Wilder hopefully when we get out to Las Vegas. But it's a big fight, and we'll be talking about it, and we'll continue to. Stuff's already posted on the website. Go check it out. Sean Thompson already posted an article, Mike, saying this could be the fight to save Buckley.
And Tyson Fury was on with us, and he's got an interesting strategy. I was talking about that with a couple of degenerate gamblers out in Las Vegas about where this is going to go. The money, if you're going to win it and you want to have some fun with it, it's certainly you got to bet Tyson Fury because Deontay Wilder is the big favorite right now.
All right, man. We got plenty to get to if you're just joining us. It's been a day, really, surrounded with a lot of baseball talk, and rightfully so. Coming off the weekend, we had Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, say some idiotic things. And, you know, we've got people right now, Mike, who are tweeting at us and saying, Dukes and Bell, I don't know what the proper punishment is. We're going to get into all of that and how I think he botched this. But more importantly, Mike, his actions speak how out of touch he is coming up in 20 minutes. But we get into the Falcon Report. It's brought to you every day by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, great deals, guys. Right now, you've got the $5.99. Get two medium, two topping pizzas, $5.99 each, minimum two of those pizzas. And you can track them with their Domino's tracker. Know right when your pie is coming right to your dojo. And more details about other deals, including carryout, when you go to Domino's.com.
We will also get back into our all-star observations. Trey Young and a lot more is on the way. And at 6:20 today, stay tuned because Atlanta United plays in CONCACAF tonight. It's the first action, real action of the season. No more friendlies. We're going to get to some things that count here. And Jason Longshore is set to join us at 6:20 to talk about this down there in Honduras.
And coming up in Guide Talk, we'll give you some locations around Metro Atlanta where you can catch the game. I know it is a bit confusing because, unfortunately, MLS and CONCACAF don't exactly have the best TV deal just yet. But hopefully we'll find a place where you can see it. We know where you can hear it, and that's right here at 92.9 The Game at 10.
All right, let's start first with what the Falcons have done. Mike, they've signed punter Ryan Allen and kicker Young Wei Koo to one-year extensions. Now, remember, Koo came in last year after the Matt Bryant situation and ended up taking over the field goal duties. Punter Matt, Ryan Allen, that is, not Matt Ryan, but Ryan Allen. Doesn't this signal that this is the end of Vosher?
Well, I mean, we like Matt. He's a good dude. I think if you're a Falcon fan, you had a chance to meet him at team events or stuff. You know, he's a great guy. But I got to be honest, with some of the other guys, what did we go through, six punters this year, including Matt? Well, that was at least five. I did think that there were some guys that got, you know, the ball down the field a little bit farther. And I think certainly, you want to make sure you're pinning guys down inside. You know, the coffin corner is gone. Everything's just a big, you know, high fly ball and somebody will catch it in the middle of the field. But yeah, nothing against Matt, but I think we're always looking to improve in every area of the team. So why not punter?
What about Young Wei Koo? What's your take on him? I mean, he's 25, right? He came in. Is this a guy that can ultimately grow into a guy that you trust? Because again, he was on some games and in other games he wasn't so much.
Well, Tavecchio.
Oh!
We thought he had proven that he was ready to rock. He'd already had a season under his belt with the Raiders, and then obviously his preseason was a disaster, and it just got worse and worse. They tried to bring him to remind you guys, they bring Matt Bryant back, and there was a reason why Matt was gone, because he couldn't do the job as effectively. So I think you bring in, like they used to and they always seem to, Carl, you bring in somebody to compete, some other kicker from somewhere to go with Young Wei Koo, so at least we'll know these guys are hopefully have some measure of clutch. But I thought, you know, he's pretty good. I mean, Where does he rank? He's, you know, he's like that, he's in the top third.
That sounded confident.
I mean, I don't know.
I think he was pretty good.
He's what it is. Yeah. First off, we're kicking it too far. You know, we're kicking too many field goals anyway with this team. That's problem one.
It is.
But you know, we just got spoiled because, you know, as you joked around 2 years ago, like, well, we're over the 50. Get Matt Bryan out there. He'll go kick us, you know, 55, 58 yard field goal.
Kick it.
But yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Koo, and you bring somebody else in to compete with him this summer. How's that?
Okay. No, I agree. I mean, can we be honest right now? This is not the most pressing issue. This is not. It is a. It's a. It's a part of it.
Right.
But this is not the most pressing issue to get our team back to the playoffs. And here's what we found out last year. You can rotate through some kickers. You'll find a guy. Okay. I'd like to have a guy locked up, and I hope that Koo gets his opportunity to be that guy. And maybe Ryan Allen, Mike, is the punter of the future. That's fine. But we have more pressing issues. For example. As we continue to talk about who should stay and who should go, our defensive line. Guys, Grady Jarrett has become a guy that's recognizable around the league, and rightfully so. Outside of that, Mike Bell, I say Falcons D-line, you say exactly.
I say Grady and a whole lot of nothing.
Exactly.
No, I mean, look, Grady has been the one consistent piece, the guy that really pushes the center of the line, and is, you just know he's giving the max effort every game. You know, we've already talked about Vic, that ship has sailed, they're not bringing him back. Tack, this is the year for me where I'm sorry if I'm Dan Quinn or I'm Thomas, there's no way, you know, I'm going to give this guy that fifth year unless he goes bananas this season. Okay? There's all sorts of rules when you can decide you're going to pick up that option year. And then there's also a rule that's in place where you still don't, you can say you're picking it up, then you still move on from the guy. We could have done that with Vic. You've got options. But there's, unless I see a double-digit sack, but not even the sack, because as we said about Vic, it doesn't have to be the sacks per se. It's difference maker, playmaker, game stop, you know, big game-defining tackles, getting the quarterback to do something where he coughs the ball up. Be a difference maker on the field. We have no difference makers on the defensive line except for Grady Jarrett.
All right, so down the list, Alan Bailey. These are guys that played for us last year. He was stout against the run. And some of these positions, when you talk about D-line, I know you're not watching this as frequently as you might be watching other positions or, for that matter, the ball. But this guy played 521 snaps. That's a lot, which means he's durable. He wasn't injured. He's a guy that, again, can be a rotational guy. All these guys don't have to be stars, but along the way, we need to find a couple more stars on this D-line.
How old is Bailey? Squid Bailey, how old is he? Because we got him over from the Chiefs. I mean, he's steady, solid, if not spectacular.
I think he may be on the cusp of 30, Mike, remembering his days with the Chiefs. Adrian Claiborne, Mike, 4 sacks, 7 quarterback hits. Claiborne came back. Again, he's not star, but we need rotational guys.
I mean, he kind of is... what our defensive line is. You know what I mean? I know that Dan likes guys that are bigger guys. And, you know, Vic is sort of that prototypical, like, more lighter in the dumper kind of defensive end off the edge. But we have a lot of these guys that are kind of similar. Jack Crawford, Adrian Claiborne. Do you want to keep rolling with these guys?
Well, what about Kaminsky, right? Did you see enough of him? Obviously, he's going to be around.
Yeah, Bailey's 31, by the way, Bo just told me.
Okay, so there he is.
And the contract's not a killer.
No, and I think when a guy plays that many snaps for you, he's having an impact. That's almost 50% of the snaps for the season. Yeah, what about Jack, as I used to say, Crawford?
Well, I mean, as we just said, steady but not spectacular. 436 snaps, 41% of your defensive snaps. We like Jack. I mean, he's relatively inexpensive by NFL standards.
Okay, but you can find another Jack Crawford, right? You can find another guy that does what Jack does.
Yes, we got. Don't we just have like all these guys are kind of interchangeable to the fans' mind right now, driving in a car that's a Falcon fan?
Well, that's why I asked.
They're all the same guys, aren't they? They're all the same guys, and they're not difference makers.
Do this to your friend, okay? And when this changes, this is when you'll know that either we're really good or some guys are playing out of their mind. Falcon defensive line. You can't name Grady Jarrett. Go. That's the problem.
I guess I'd stay with Tyler Davison, I suppose.
Okay.
Because, I mean...
Now...
These aren't contracts that are going to kill you, but if you do want to trim some fat and do some other things, then a bunch of these guys are gone.
So, and here's the part that we don't know. How many of these guys fit exactly what Dan Quinn is wanting them to do? We wouldn't know that because at one point the defense was so bad last year that it's hard to quantify that and go, you know what? Tyler Davison did a really good job last year, when in fact he might have.
I mean, he was strong against the run. We know that. So that's why it's hard to look at this. But the problem is the impact plays, to Mike's point. What about Austin Larkin, Mike? You remember him? He had flashes. Remember in preseason, we were like, hey, who's this Larkin guy? Then he came up. Why are you looking at me like that? You don't remember this guy?
I remember him now, but I don't remember him on the field.
You don't remember this guy?
No, I remember you and I had practice on the side of the
hill. Austin Larkin?
And we're going, hey, that guy looks pretty good.
Yeah, and then, you know, he fought his way through, had some injuries.
Adios.
Okay, all right. What about Stephen Means? Stephen Means.
No interest whatsoever.
What about
By the way, he was on. Now he did spend the season on IR.
Yeah, he got to come back.
But in 2018, they did like him. But again, he's just we know what these guys are. These are all just regular guys. There's no stars here. There's no playmakers. They're just dudes. These are bodies.
Just a guy.
These are just bodies. Useless bodies that don't do anything. That don't make the big plays. That don't push the line. We get run on. We don't get the quarterback on the ground.
Okay, wait.
None of these. I can. You know what?
Hold on.
I'll give you these. What is your list? I don't care. I'm sick and tired of every one of these names.
Wait a minute.
What do I get? I get nothing.
I've got something for you.
Every one of these things, mediocre. Nothing. I get nothing from these guys.
I've got something for you. I've got one name for you, Mike.
Lay it on me.
Deidre Sinat.
Who? Love Deidre. Great guy. Fantastic story. You know his background, what he went through to get to the NFL.
Yes.
He was not even dressing for some of these games.
Stay or go.
Adios. Three letters. XFL.
404-741-0929.
No, I mean,
listen, here's the deal.
I'm just sick and tired.
This is the point.
These are the same names you and I have been talking about for 3 years. I'm sick of them. I want new names. New people. Please.
404-741-0929. This is why we do this exercise. Because you go through it,
yeah.
And whether it's the wide receiving group, which was really easy, or the running backs group, or the offensive line group, you get to the D-line and you go, where are the difference makers?
You know what this is?
What?
You had Legion of Boom? This is Legion of Meh. L-O-M. No, I just, and I'm, again,
all right, hold on.
I know this will get back to Flowery Branch, and I'm a jerk.
Hey, we feel how we feel.
We pay for these tickets. We got the PSL, and this team, these guys, nobody, save for Grady, other than, well, Jack's big, he looks like an X-Man, but a lot of these guys you couldn't pick out in a police lineup.
All right, stay or go, and then we're talking about the line. Here's the thing, guys. Some of these guys are going to be back, and I do think some of these guys, as we said, whether it's the Austin Baileys or the Allen Baileys,
doesn't matter which one you're saying, because no one's going to know the difference.
Adrian Claiborne or Tyler Davidson, some of these guys actually played well. The problem was the defense was so bad, you wouldn't know. So some of these guys will be back because they're rotational guys,
mm-hmm.
But we got to get better. We got to get better up front on the D-line. It's got to be more than Grady, bro.
Brandon's listening online, and Brandon Hamby says, as funny as this segment is, it's actually kind of sad as a Falcon fan.
Are we lying?
But this is, you know, Dan, here's the thing. Dan Quinn, a defensive line coach, that's his bread and butter. That was his, you know, his pedigree. And we've talked about when he was part of the, you know, LOB, you know, he went to Florida and he came back.
Is that a gang?
But you got, no, it's just
LOB.
LOB. Yes. Remember that famous.
Is that a gang? I saw them throwing up gang signs.
And for those who don't remember, there was an angry old white reporter who thought that Richard Sherman was referring to some sort of street gang with LOB. That's just Legion of Boom. But yeah, Dan.
And then somebody said he went to Stanford, fool.
Yeah, like a 3.9 GPA. But no, you get like Averill and Bennett, and you had Bruce Irvin. You had guys that were dudes that had skill sets. None of these guys have skill sets. Other than to be totally forgettable on a weekly basis from a Falcon defensive standpoint as a fan.
What are these guys? I'm sorry. What are these guys again?
Legion of Meh. Yeah, it's Falcon's defensive line. Legion of Meh.
All right.
Except for Grady. Grady's good.
Well, here's the thing. We have a chance to get better. How do they get better? Because this is why we're evaluating this stuff. Combine next week, guys, and our general manager, Thomas Dimitroff, and Coach Quinn will both be there.
I mentioned it earlier in the first round of Guy Talk. Falcons guys at Caesars Palace, 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. 50-1. That's basically Vegas saying you got no shot.
Hey, we are live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Coming up, Rob Manfred. The reaction to the reaction is the wrong reaction. So you want to have a good time, Atlanta United fans, head up to Nashville because Mike and I will be there for the match next weekend. Join us Friday, February 28th, from 1 until 6 Central Time, because you gain an hour. That's going to be at Tailgate Brewery, Music Row in Nashville. Now, we were there a couple of seasons ago, and now we get a chance to go back to Nashville. It's 92.9 The Game, Atlanta United's welcome party. And we'll be broadcasting live, special episode of Stoppage Time Live with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore as well. So we'll have prize giveaways, special guests, and more. Make sure you make your way by there. And then, of course, the match itself is Saturday night there in Nashville. But we're telling you about it because if you didn't know and you haven't made plans, mm-hmm. and maybe you're going up, it's going to be a good time, and we'll set the mood and set the tone.
Yeah, man, it's a great spot right off, right off the heart of the action. There's so many cool bars, as you guys know, and I'm sure everybody out there listening has made a run to Music City. But we loved it because it was inexpensive. We had a blast. We love live music like you guys do, and of course, we're going to fill that stadium up. I know there was some talk that they were going to try to like limit the the 404s and the 770s trying to buy tickets, but I know that you can go online and get tickets at a reasonable price, Carl. And I think we're going to have at least 20,000. Who knows? I don't want to put a number on, but I think we're going to have a lot of people up there in Nashville. It's going to be a blast.
It should be. So, again, we'll be reminding you guys, but that is the Friday before the match on Saturday that we'll be doing a live broadcast up there at Tailgate Brewery, Music Row in Nashville. Hey, let's get to the strong arm story of the day.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
I want you to hear Rob Manfred's cuts, the audio sound here of what he had to say about not punishing the Astros players. This is the press conference that happened down at the Braves facility over the weekend, because it's important to what we'll get to next. Here's Rob Manfred.
I'm more than prepared to tolerate and listen to the debate and criticism about whether or not the punishments that have been levied in this case are sufficient. The one thing that I do take issue with, the notion that anybody in the Houston organization escaped without punishment. I think if you look at the faces of the Houston players as they've been out there publicly addressing this issue, they have been hurt by this. They will live with questions about what went on in 2017 and 2018 for the rest of their lives. And frankly, it's rare that for any offense, you have a punishment that you will live with for the rest of your lives.
He's talking about the public humiliation that each and every one of those guys will have to deal with, whether they are wearing an Astros uniform or not, whether they're in the private sector at some point and doing something else. And somebody goes, didn't you play for the Astros? Weren't you a part of? He's right. Here's the problem, though. He didn't specifically do his job by punishing those individuals in where they are right now in the world of baseball, Mike, and that's why people are upset.
Yeah, and I know that I've been saying from the jump, you should have just popped these guys with a 25 to 50 game suspension. As we said, stagger it. Half the lineup goes this way, half the goes the other half of the season. You bring your minor leaguers up, and that's it. You're going to have a terrible season, and then there will be the peace. But because of the way they cut this thing together in the investigation, you and I were talking about this earlier. What you should have done is, all right, boys, making deals. We're making deals right now. You don't want to lose money on a contract next year. I need to hear what's going on. And it's like you're doing a criminal case. You put the criminal case together. You get guys to turn states. Yeah, be a rat. But come on, let's go. What they did was, no, everybody gets immunity, and let's figure it out. We'll blame the coaches. We'll get a pound of flesh from guys that you're never going to see again. And there you go. So Carlos Beltran never gets to be Mets manager.
Yep.
And Cora, of course, gets fired from the Red Sox, along with A.J. Hinch and the personnel, the general manager you talked about. I don't know. In hindsight, I would have rather seen a pound of flesh from the players. I think everybody wants to see that, including Major League Baseball players themselves.
Well, that's why Nick Markakis said what he said. Let's hear more from Rob Manfred. Again, this was at the press conference down at the Braves facility this weekend. He defended MLB's transparency.
Our desire to find the facts, to figure out what really went on, drove a lot of the decisions that we made in the investigative process. You might look backwards and say, you know, I would have made a different decision. I will tell you this. I think the worst possible outcome for this institution would have been if we'd conducted an investigation and came back and said, you know, we just couldn't figure out what went on.
Okay. I do think that they've been fairly good, not great, with this transparency problem or issue as far as what they knew and what they didn't know. Here's the problem, though. Now that we know what we know, Mike, we all can say that the information given to us as the public and baseball fans, we know that the punishment should be harsher. That's the problem I think, again, we're having. It's not that baseball did anything wrong here. You did an investigation. You did the best way you possibly could to get the information. But now that you have that information, what are you doing to punish these individuals? And that is the part, again, that nobody, he's not talking about that. I'm not worried about the transparency. You did that. We're fine.
And you could also argue, though, I mean, I'm not going to let Manfred off that easy. And there's even more stuff to get on him in a second. But they knew about this in 15.
That's
Players,
right.
Players Association came to Major League Baseball. Ken Rosenthal's got it in his article in The Athletic. And Ken is pretty good. Players came to the baseball commissioner's office and said, technology's getting out of hand. We think teams are starting to use the technology in real time. That's when the memos went out. Memo went out in 17. Players can say, well, we didn't know because the Astros general manager was such a dirtbag. He never passed that information along into the clubhouse.
Well, that's what they did say.
So they've got some plausible deniability. So, okay. So then you got guys like Brian McCann. You know, I just heard Nick Markakis say he thinks that these guys should take a beating. Brian McCann's one of those guys that's always the first to be up out of the dugout. And that's why we love him. Unwritten rules of baseball. He's that guy that buys it. You trying to steal the signal as the batter looking down under my mitt? I'm ready to stand up and go right now by the plate. Remember the guys running too slow around the base? McCann's going to be the one in his ear. So McCann, I'm supposed to believe, is the only guy who was a saint with this thing? And he said, hey, we got to stop this? Well, you didn't stop this. Nobody stopped this. These players are full of crap, and that's why I think, even though it's too late because the horse is out of the barn, people want to see these guys have to pay their dues. And you know how you do that? By putting them on their butt. You plunk these guys early and often all season long, but now Manfred won't let these guys do that.
Well, I'm glad you get to that, because here was Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, talking about retaliation, and I thought this was important. And guys, I'm never for headhunting. You don't throw at a guy's head, you could kill somebody. But I am for the rules within the rules of baseball. And I've said this time and time again on this show, and many of you disagree with me. Oh, it's antiquated. It's old school. This is how baseball has policed itself for years. For situations like this, where guys don't feel like a player got what they deserved, and so you know what? Or you pimped a home run. Or whatever it might be. Here's Manfred.
I hope that I made it extremely clear to them that retaliation in-game by throwing at a batter intentionally will not be tolerated, whether it's Houston or anybody else. It's dangerous, and it is not helpful to the current situation.
Mike, I want to ask you a question real quick. You said MLB knew about this 15, and then in 17 the memos went out, right?
Right.
You know Jose Altuve won his MVP in 17. March 16th, 2018, Jose Altuve and the Astros agreed on a 5-year, $150 million extension. Now you say, well, why do I bring that up? Because if that was the case, I don't know if what I saw with Jose Altuve in 17 was all what it cracked up to be. I'm not telling you he's not a good player, because he is. But was he as great as what those numbers say? And this is where Nick Markakis says guys have been cheated. Guys that compete every day, you're cheating the game. That $151 million contract extension, Mike, it's in question now. I'm sorry.
Right. And then you got the other side of the spectrum, a guy who's just trying to grind. We mentioned this earlier in the show. It was a comment that was brought up by Freddie Freeman before they even got down to spring training. And Freddie's point was, take Chris Medlin. He's trying to scuffle and trying to get maybe one more contract. He's got a spot start. He gets lit up by the Astros at Minute Maid. Okay, well, there you mess. Again, you got your hand, you're messing with a guy's money. And then the Astros have got the balls to walk around like they're the big red machine in the 70s with their chest puffed out, talking smack to everybody out there. That's crap. That's why baseball players want to see these guys go down and go down hard. As we said, you don't want to see people get hurt, but a bruise in the small of the back, that's not going to hurt anybody other than that guy for about an hour or two that gets plunked.
Well, we're going to see how tough they are. Because if this becomes a continuous thing where every team's like, our turn, we'll see. I mean, I don't know if it's going to turn out to be that way. Maybe it's once a week. Maybe it's once every other. Who knows? But guys will find a way. And I said this earlier, and I do believe this, Mike. No matter what the commissioner says right there about retaliation, players don't care. They will take the fine to prove their point. That's who these guys are. That's what they come up in. That's how their belief is. So it's almost like, yeah, that's nice, commish, but you know what? You didn't do your job, so we got this.
And just when things can't get any worse for Major League Baseball and for Rob Manfred, he does a 45-minute interview with ESPN where he says some think the Astros should be stripped of that 17 championship. He goes, yeah, you know, the idea of an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems like a futile act. So
out of touch.
you got players losing their minds, and you've got everybody from Justin Turner, you've got guys from all over, Mike Trout going in, saying, this is a guy who's repping our sport? You got another empty suit. You know, it's like baseball's version of Roger Goodell, tone deaf with a bunch of idiots telling him what he should be doing, and he's doing it all the wrong way.
I want you to hear Nick Markakis. It's Dukes and Bell. It is our strong arm story of the day. Here's Markakis today as he talked about Manfred.
I think they got off. They got off pretty easy. You know, they're going to be able to go out there and compete with no ramifications at all, which is wrong. And I think the commissioner completely handled it the wrong way. But you know, that's the way he did it, and you know, that's the way we got to live with it. But you know, I know a lot of people disagree with him, and the way he handled the situation, he should be embarrassed of himself.
Everybody disagrees, Nick, and he said he embarrassed himself. He embarrassed the league. That's where we're at with this. Guys, it's not going away. It's Dukes and Bell. We got Guy Talk on the way.
Yeah, man. Al Pacino's girlfriend spilling the beans. Apparently, Al's a little cheap.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Hey, real quick, want to remind you, Hawks fans, we're going to talk about the Hawks coming up in 20 minutes. And why? Because of Trey and the All-Star Game and what the weekend was. But they have released the 2021 season ticket memberships. Go to Hawks.com for more info on season ticket memberships, guys. And they've got all the information there, all the benefits as well. But we got some Guy Talk right now.
Yeah, man. It's brought to you by our buddies at Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com. Hey, man, we were just talking a lot about the story everybody's talking about around the water cooler, and that's, of course, what's going on with the Astros. Even LeBron James is commenting at King James. Players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, etc. about this. Literally, the ball, and he's got a little baseball, is in your court, or should I say, your field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports. So even King James talking about just how wacky and how bad the optics are right now for Major League Baseball.
Integrity. It's the one thing you can't ruin with fans. You can do a lot of things. You cannot ruin the integrity of the game. And again, I get back to this. You know, it's all kind of been on the back burner now. This led to a World Series championship.
But, I mean, this is something you and I have talked about off the air. And I know, like, I'm not trying to play like Babe in the Woods, like I'm so naive. But just like we say with Roger Goodell, because I still do believe there are people, Carl, who don't really understand. The commissioner doesn't work for the fan, doesn't work for the player. He works for the owners.
Right.
And the last time Major League Baseball had a commissioner who really cared about the integrity of the game, matter of fact, he cared so much about the integrity, the owners fired him, was Faye Vincent. Faye Vincent was the guy that was number two to Bart Giamatti, you know, actor Paul Giamatti, that's his father, who was arguably one of the best baseball commissioners we had, and he unfortunately died prematurely, and then you got a guy that really cared about the game, and then Bud Selig took it over. And then you had the steroid era, because they turned to, again, that's why, I mean, at this point now with what's going on with the Astros, baseball's management is incompetent. Going back to the point that they turned a blind eye to the steroid generation. They want to get fans back in the park after the strike.
Yeah, I was talking to a buddy of mine about this, a baseball head, and we were going back and forth. He's covered the league for a long time, and we were talking about, you know, what's worse. And we both agreed. You may disagree. This is worse. And I know the steroid thing was a big thing, but we've said this. And you know, again, this is not to demean it, but I think most people didn't care because you were entertained. And at the end of the day, the problem was records were broken because of it, but you went to ballparks. You were entertained. We dug it. We loved the long ball.
Sosa and McGuire, 98. Get everybody back there, but you had Cal Ripken with a streak and then that, yeah.
But when you start talking about teams and a systemic situation within an organization, what makes any other team around Major League Baseball say they're not going to attempt this? Because the manager and the GM got fired? Whoop-de-doo. $5 million? That's nothing to these owners. What is going to deter another? So to me, this is worse because now, again, you're messing with the integrity of the game itself when you get down to, Mike, what deters another team from saying, you know, we're going to roll the dice and we're going to take a chance, and technology is allowing us to do this, so we're going to do it.
Baseball was onto this about 2015, according to Ken Rosenthal, when they first, Players Association said, hey, man, you got to take a look at this. Meanwhile, you heard what Nick Markakis said. He goes, he thinks these guys should all take a beating. And they asked Dusty Baker about that, because poor Dusty's now in the middle of this firestorm as the manager of the Astros.
This morning in Braves camp, Nick Markakis, he said that the guys over here deserve a beating for what went on. What do you have? Any thoughts on those comments?
Oh, that's cool. No, I ain't commenting on everybody's comments, you know. So?
No.
Go ahead.
No.
You want to beat on us? Go ahead. I didn't think Marquez talked too much.
Give us more.
He doesn't. Okay, well, maybe he had his Wheaties in.
So there's Dusty throwing a little shade at Markakis because, to be honest, we said ourselves, he's not that guy you'd expect to come with such a strong point of view. But that's just, if it's Nick Markakis, imagine what the rest of the rank and file of MLB think about this. But funny by Dusty.
Yeah, I think he speaks for the average guy.
Right.
You know, he's not a superstar in this league. And so, you know, he's a guy that's put in his time. He's worked hard. He's made a lot of money. But I think he's most baseball players. And most guys are not, you know, brash and flamboyant, Mike, where they're out there in the limelight. I think Markakis is probably 90% of the guys that feel the same way and just haven't said anything.
Hey, man, I always hate when you get, like, he said, she said, like, somebody breaks up and then the girlfriend or the boyfriend starts talking to the media about the inner workings of the relationship. In this case, it's Al Pacino, Carl, one of our favorite actors. His ex-girlfriend blames the split, on the fact that there was a 39-year age gap between the two of them. You think? The Oscar winner is also cheap. Israeli actress Metal Dohan, she's 40. She dated Al Pacino, who's 79, by the way, for 2 years. Says that even though Pacino's a legendary actor, he's still an old man. Oh, that's mean. That's just mean.
That is.
Don't say that.
No, when you call somebody an old man, that's tough, isn't it?
That's like saying you're a boomer.
Yeah.
I tried to deny it, she told the magazine Laisha in Israel, but now he is already an elderly man, to be honest. So even with all my love, it just didn't last.
Wow.
She also added that
I thought a younger woman reinvigorated him.
Yes,
older
and
man.
With better living through chemistry, you'd think he'd be ready to roll. She, the Weeds actress also added that, you know, he's kind of cheap. She goes, I really love him, but to be quite honest, I got some flowers. That's about it. The whole time, the 2 years. So no baubles, you know, no bling. I mean, a little something. So I hate to hear that about Al. I would like to think the guy's got enough coin. He's been in like every big movie in the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
50 years.
I don't think it's about money, but, you know, here's a guy that's really seems like he's set in his ways.
Right. He used to date Beverly D'Angelo, who you guys remember is the wife from National Lampoon's Vacation. That was his before he got with the younger woman.
Okay.
Now, speaking of, you would think, maybe I don't know if it was about performance-based. Sounds like he was just miserable and cheap. A guy in Scotland. Oh, he's got some trouble, Carl. 57-year-old Glazer James Scott told the Daily Record that he had surgery 2 years ago. He apparently suffered a groin injury at an accident at work in Glasgow.
Okay.
So something apparently hit his nether regions, and he lost the capacity to be all you can be. I'm speaking in code for kids in the car.
Yeah, he's not as vigilant as you would
so have. So he went for get some surgery to get back the ability to do that stuff.
Okay.
And the follow-up surgery, they put metal rods in the thing.
Well, that's one way to get it
and,
up.
And leaving him with a permanent thing.
Yeah. Well, metal rods will do that for you. when you say permanent, like walk around permanent?
Well, you'd think you might want to use a different substance other than metal rods because they're not pliable. But anyway, a poor guy has been in agony. He hasn't been able to leave his home now for months.
Oh.
Can't wear clothes. Can't go out. He's permanently husky.
What is he, stiff?
He's permanently husky. Three-quarter husky. Was told 6 to 8 weeks it would be normal, and it hasn't been. And again, they can't seem to fix this thing.
Well, how does it go down with the rod in there?
Again, you see with the language, Tiger.
I'm sorry, I'm just saying. You got me thinking about it. You're the one presenting this story.
I'm just telling you.
I'm just reacting to it.
I'm just telling you. Hey, man, today's birthdays. Dr. Dre is 55 today. A billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
And then some. John Travolta, 66. That thing on his head, a little bit younger. Matt Dillon is 56 today.
Okay.
In front of you, guy. Le'Veon Bell turns 28. Vanna White is 63 today.
Wow.
Made a career in just turning those letters.
And made a lot of money, too.
Yoko Ono, it's all her fault. 87, the Beatles broke up. And then you got Enzo Ferrari, born on this date in 1898. The Commendatore.
Very cool.
And again, we just saw Ford versus Ferrari. We'll talk more about the Vegas trips. I got some fun stuff about the fight, and we'll also give you where you can find the soccer match. Speaking of which, Jason Longshore is going to join us next hour.
6:20, he'll be here. We'll come back. We'll hit top three at 6. We'll also get into the NBA All-Star Weekend. It was great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.